This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given.
My name is Elvin Bethea. S-B-E-T-H-E-A. I played with the Houston Oilers for 16 years.
Bethea was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2003. He's now 72 years old, and he's doing all right.
I mean, I know I hope I'm normal, but I think I have all of my faculties together.
Bethea knows that many other former players aren't so fortunate. Only a Game's Martin Kessler picks up the story from here.
Elvin Bethea told me about a phone call he had. It was with a friend who'd played pro football before him.
We talked about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and after we hung up, phone rang about 2 or 3 minutes later. I'm sorry. I answered the phone. She said, and the person on the other end, the lady said, "Who is this?" And so I told her who it was. She says, Joe didn't know who he was talking to right then. And that hurt.
Most sports fans probably know that many former NFL players are struggling physically and mentally. But what they might not know is that many older NFL alums have financial problems, too.
And think about the little pension that we get. I call it a little pension compared to others. That money comes in and goes right out for doctor bills, for co-pays, for medicines.
Bethea, a Hall of Famer who, again, played 16 seasons with the Houston Oilers, says he receives $3,300 a month from the league. That comes to about $40,000 a year. But he'd be getting more if one thing were different about his career, the year he retired. Bethea and other players who retired before 1993 are not eligible for a range of benefits available to players who retired after 1993, and their pensions are about a third the size of current players.
We're the ones that built this, and we're forgotten.
Bethea is trying to change that. He's part of a new group that's calling for equitable pensions for pre-93 retirees. There's about 4,000 of them who qualify.
They're basically saying, look, give us the honor of pension parity before we all disappear.
That's Ken Belson, who covers the NFL for the New York Times. As he has reported, about 140 pre-93 retirees are dying every year. Belson says the roots of this pre-93, post-93 divide go back to the 70s. Football was overtaking baseball as the most popular sport in the U.S., and in the late 80s, serious labor strife began.
I think the players realized that, hey, wait a second, we want a bigger share of the pie.
The players wanted full free agency. That would mean bigger salaries because teams would have to bid for them in a free market. Not surprisingly, the owners resisted. For 5 years, the two sides failed to sign a labor deal. Finally, in 1993, they came to an agreement.
The players got a full version of free agency. In return, there was a salary cap put in as a sort of stopgap on runaway spending.
And the players received something else.
A whole host of generous benefits were put in, annuities, 401ks, enhanced severance, more years of health care coverage for retirees.
But these new benefits would not be available to players who had already retired. The agreement, Belson says, effectively put the pre-93 retirees in a different class.
Number one, they didn't play with full free agency, so they didn't make nearly the amount of money some of the current players were making. But they also were left with relatively small pensions and none of the other fringe benefits that the new players were getting.
And in the years after 1993, Belson says the gap between the two groups only widened.
You know, look, if your pension benefit is set at $250 for every year you played and there's no cost of living increase, it diminishes over time with inflation. That's just a fact.
For years, pre-93 retirees and others have been speaking out.
I have been advocating casually probably since about 2002.
That's Jane Arnett. Her husband John is a former NFL player. Arnett says she realized there was a real problem when Hall of Famer Dick Nitrane Lane passed away.
And there was no money to bury him. There was talk of him having a pauper's funeral, which, you know, unfortunately happens to a lot of people, but it was shocking that it would happen to a man like that.
Arnett says people did eventually step in to help cover the funeral costs, but the situation raised red flags.
I started asking around to other people what was going on, and suddenly there was an eruption of stories, similar stories.
Arnett says she came to learn there was a program available to help NFL alums in emergencies, a dire need fund. She says it was a wonderful resource for men who were struggling to pay their rent, mortgage, or medical bills.
And I think the thing that shocked me and really woke me up was one entry that was for a pair of eyeglasses. I realized, and we all realize, that there are many, many people in this world that are in that kind of a situation. It's not uncommon. What concerned me was, to me, this was family, and that someone would reach the point in his life that he couldn't even afford the $219 for his eyeglasses.
Arnett says that made her and other advocates think that more should be done to help retirees before they reach that level of desperation.
But we really came to the conclusion as a group that perhaps an increase of pensions would make sense.
Arnett says they tried to reach out to the Players Association.
We were met with some great hostility. We were really treated as if we were just troublemakers, we advocates.
In 2006, former NFL Players Association head Gene Upshaw was asked why retiree benefits were so low on the list of the union's priorities. Here's the New York Times' Ken Belson again.
He basically said, they don't hire me and they can't fire me. Speaking of retired players, they can complain about me all day long. They can have their opinion, but the active players have the vote. That's who pays my salary.
For the record, Upshaw, who died in 2008, said the quote was taken out of context. In 2011, the Players Association, under new head Demoris Smith, managed to secure a pension increase for pre-93 players.
And that was certainly welcome, but it's an extra 20, 30, 40%, depending on the player, off a very small number. You know, they're still one-third the amount that the current players are getting.
So I think a lot of our listeners will just have the gut reaction, you know, the NFL makes so much money, why can't the owners just pony up and give these 4,000 pre-93 retirees the same pension benefits?
The owners didn't build the league into a $14 billion business by giving things away.
The current collective bargaining agreement expires in 2021. If pre-93 retirees don't get equal pensions this time around, there may not be many left to help when the next deal comes up. So pre-93 retirees are taking one more shot, and going through the owners isn't their primary strategy. Before we get to that strategy, I want to tell you about the person leading this new effort. She's a lawyer with a pretty strong connection to the pre-93 retirees.
So I am Lisa Marie Riggins, and in addition to being an attorney, I happen to be married to a former NFL player, John Riggins.
Yeah, I feel like I've already been introduced, but I'm John Riggins. I'm an ex-football player. I grew up in Northeast Kansas.
John played running back in the NFL from 1971 to 1985. He was the MVP of Super Bowl XVII and was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1992.
Now that I'm an ex-football player, I'm actually doing what I do best. I become a ne'er-do-well.
What does that entail? What are the job
descriptions? I'm actually a little bit more than that. I'm the camp cook. I'm kind of the overseer of everything domestic in the house. And I'm also the landscape guy. If we had a pool, I'd be the pool boy.
For the record, John also works in broadcasting. John and Lisa Marie got married in 1996. A little over a decade later, they moved to Washington, D.C., where John had finished his playing career. Lisa Marie started meeting more former players. She realized many were in, quote, untenable situations. Then in October 2015, Lisa Marie was on a late-night flight home from California. She happened to be sitting next to a woman who worked in government. They started talking about the NFL concussion settlement.
And then segued into the pensions, because people always assume, well, you know, at least they can, you know, at least they have a good pension, or at least, you know, and it's like, no, 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 no. And then you start to explain it, and she, for her, it was shock.
Lisa Marie says she explained that the pre-93 retirees didn't have a legal option to try to improve their pensions. And that's when her seatmate gave her some advice.
And she said, you know, when the courts don't work, you got to go through a different door. So you need to get into the court of public opinion and really mine that ore.
Lisa Marie says this was a turning point. She decided she had to get the story of the pre-93 retirees out to the public. She started trying to set up meetings with lobbyists and other people around D.C.
people met with me solely because of my last name. So I had this currency that I felt like I needed to use.
Finally, Lisa Marie Riggins realized she needed to have a conversation with the general partner at her new law firm, where she'd been given the corner office. She explained that she needed some time to focus on the issue.
And I said, I think it's going to take me about 6 months. So I need to just back off any cases and just take whatever I can take.
Lisa Marie started laying the groundwork to launch a public advocacy campaign. She started working to form a 501c3. She retained a lobbying firm to do research, and she formed a board. 6 months went by, then another 6 months.
I guess after a year into it, the general partner of my firm said, so, are you coming back? And I said, well, just a little bit more. I just need a little bit more. I just need a little bit more. Well, it's been 3 years, and I lost the corner office. And that's okay. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve that real estate. This is a full-time job, and it's not a paying job. And we could use my income.
Yeah, Lisa Marie, what's your income right now?
Oh, God. That's embarrassing on the air. It's probably $20,000. I mean, I do a case a month at the most.
Lisa Marie says her husband's been 100% behind her.
As long as the power is still coming into the house, then this is not an issue. But if that happens, then we may have to revisit this.
The outcome of this work has been the launch of a group called FAIR, Fairness for Athletes in Retirement. Ken Belson says FAIR has a straightforward goal.
They're not asking for the annuities. They're not asking for the 401k plans, all the other things that the current generations of players get. They just want the same pension calculations that the current players get. That's all they want.
And here's where we get back to one significant piece of FAIR's strategy. Its primary focus is not getting NFL owners to simply give more money. Instead, it's focused on the players' union and getting the union to allocate more of the money for player benefits in the upcoming CBA to pre-93 pensions. That means reaching the players' union membership, current players.
I think there's a big responsibility on them to recognize the pioneers that helped them get
Absolutely.
The $90 million guaranteed contracts of where they are today.
FAIR plans to hire pension consultants who can present possible solutions to the players' union. The group has also been working with a PR firm and has released videos featuring the stories of pre-93 retirees, trying to raise awareness.
When I started in 1969, the average salary in the NFL, league-wide, was $25,000. Compare that to 2 million plus today, and it's a different world.
And Lisa Marie and John aren't going at this issue alone. Jane Arnett had stepped back from advocating around 2015.
When I heard from Lisa Marie, I thought, no, I'm, you know, there's no more beating that drum for me right now. And she asked if we could speak. And when we spoke and I heard how reasonable, how well thought out, and how professionally she was organizing this effort, I had to hear more. I had to listen.
Jane Arnett is now on FAIR's board of advisors, working with Lisa Marie Riggins.
I mean, I'm very clear on the fact that this is a baton race. And, you know, I'm at the very end.
72-year-old Elvin Bethay is also on the board. He plans on speaking out until he dies.
Whether it be another 5 years in front of me, but at least when I leave here, I'm going to say that at least I'll know I tried. We're not asking for the moon. Just a little more assistance.
Ken Belson of the New York Times says it's still too early to say what will happen. He says he hasn't seen any indication that current players will make retiree pensions a priority. But there's still time for FAIR to make its case. Lisa Marie Riggins is cautiously optimistic that current players will listen. And she knows there isn't much room for error for the pre-93 retirees.
This is their last shot. If we don't get on the agenda list and move some hearts and the stakeholders, then this will just be kind of a sad chapter.
That story was from Only a Game's Martin Kessler.